Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Mozart from Don Giovanni. We just heard Vendrai Carino, performed by our guest today, Anna Netrebko, with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra conducted by Sylvan Camberling. Our guest today is soprano Anna Netrebko, known worldwide and loved as well. We had the occasion to speak with her on the release of her most recent album, Anna Netrebko, live at the Met, and also about the future of the HD presentations of opera in theaters. Welcome to Crossover, Ms. Netrebko.
Hi.
Delighted to be able to speak to you today. This is a very special time for you, isn't it? You're going to be doing a Met live in HD presentation of Manon, is that right?
That's right.
How do you prepare for the live HD presentation? I mean, is it different? If it's different from being live on stage or live on camera? I mean, inside of you, or do you feel different? Is there more? Is it a different approach?
It's a both way. At first, I have to say this is a live performance, and this is on the stage with the audience. So performance and the energy is exactly the same. So we are all working exactly like we did in the previous performances, and we will do after that. So there is no change for that. But the little change we do, of course, because we are aware of the cameras getting us quite close, and therefore the some little acting might change, you know, just for the close-up cameras. And some gestures and should not be that wide, like for the big audience, of course. This is must be there. But this is the part of our profession. This is coming together with everything else.
And, of course, it's really the present and the future, because so many people around the country certainly are watching the live in HD presentations. What is your feeling about the future of live opera in general? I mean, do you think this is going to go on? You know, there's talk of everywhere, you know, that even broadcasting, that many of the stations don't want to broadcast opera. What do you think?
Well, I think these close-ups, these live performances definitely have an advantage because you can see the emotions, the acting from the different point of view. And something which is missing from the big stage, you definitely can catch on the screen. And it's exciting. And especially the way they prepare it here in this theater, it's very high quality. And it's 12 cameras or something, and the directors perfectly know which moment to catch, and it's really interesting to watch. I mean, several of them I watched on the tapes, not in the live, but not in the live cinema, but in the tapes, and it's very fascinating. I think it's great.
Well, again, it's like live television, but again, you know, when you're on the stage, it's a different thing. People see you a certain way, and it's not a close-up. And it's like being on film. It's like being in a movie. And I think there's an extra part of that where you're more concerned about certain things, because it's lost on the stage if there's an error or if there's a movement or if there's something. But when the camera's on you, that's it, and it's there. So that's why I asked if there was any more stress when you perform on something like this.
Well, any live performance is a stress. With the camera, with not, but of course, with the cameras, make it even more complicated because, because you are exposed into the millions of the people. Of course, it's very stressful.
Well, now, what was the first language that you sang in the beginning when you first began to sing opera? Was it Russian?
I guess, I think I sang something in Russian and I sang in Italian. That was already the time when everybody started to sing in the language it belonged to the opera. So I think I sang some Mozart and it was in Italian already.
In Italian, yes. How old were you when you started to sing?
I was 16, 17.
Something
when I started to study, yeah.
Something you always wanted to do?
Was no.
It, no?
No.
Well, how did it happen?
I don't know. Just
it just did.
Yeah, I wanted to be on the stage. I liked the music. I didn't like particularly the classical music, but once I started to discover it, I started to love it, and I think it's beautiful.
Well, obviously, you love it very, very much because you're a star and everyone loves you and you look very beautiful and you sound very beautiful. So I think you've probably mastered it. A beautiful aria from War and Peace by Sergei Prokofiev. We heard Anna Trebko, soprano, and Dmitry Forostovsky, baritone, who sang the part of Prince Andrei. Ya ne budu, I won't, I can't sleep. The Metropolitan Opera Orchestra was conducted by Valery Gergiev in that performance. What do you find probably the most demanding in staying in shape? Because, again, the demands of the opera singers now, say compared to 40 years ago, there were not certain rules. I mean, they wanted them to be a certain weight. They want now you to look a certain way. Years ago, it was really not that important. As long as the voice came out and the acting was good, that's all that mattered. But it seems that opera, the demands of opera singers now are very, very, very rigid. I mean, you know, you have to look good, you have to sound good. Is that pressure as well?
Well, I think it's not that difficult for me to look and sound good.
Oh, well, tell us your secret.
This is not what I wanted to say. I mean, the young people, they look young. The older people, they still can be look good on the stage because, yeah, it's a stage.
Right.
What about the acting? Acting was developing since I was very young. And I think the older generation of singers now, they are quite well prepared and they are different. And of course, the opera now is changing and it has to be a show. It's not only about the singing. But I have to say what I'm missing. It's quite often it's the musical quality of the performance, and I think the reason is because everything is rushed. It's way too many productions everywhere. It's way too many singers, and it's not enough musical preparation for that because it costs a lot of money. And quite often we arriving into the point when the opera never actually run through musically. like in a good way, because it takes so much attention from the technical rehearsals and you know, running and staging. So the music quite often stays in the third place.
It's the last place.
Maybe not the last, but not the first. And this is, I think this is what we are missing right now. And I think this is wrong. Yeah.
Well, it's a tremendous, opera is a tremendous production. I mean, and then to add to it, that's why I asked you about having the camera there. To add to it, this element, which is just, it's so unforgiving. You know, the camera sees you and, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, it's there. And so it's a huge, huge undertaking then for the operatic singers of today. I mean, aside from the music itself, what do you have a favorite role? That's always a question. I mean, is there something that you really enjoy doing and feel less, again, the word pressured by?
I don't have a favorite role. I like the role which I'm singing at the moment, and but after the run it's finished, I'm not interested anymore that until I will be back again. Then I will try to put something new there and make it better, like. But no, I think, I mean, all the roles I'm singing I like, of course, and otherwise I would not choose them.
And you choose them, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, does the Met decide, wait, why don't we have Netrebko for this? Let's give her a call.
No, of course. There's some suggestions I do have, of course. And like, for example, the Anna Bolena, I would never think even to sing it. It was Peter Gelb who approached to me and say, why did you not singing the Queen's opera? And I say, no, I know all of them. I say, no. And, okay, probably I would like to do the Bolena. That's how it happened.
I remember, I think Stephen Costello was supposed to have sung with you on one performance, and he got ill. I think it was a debut performance at the Met for him, because we were supposed to speak with you at that time. Music of Vincenzo Bellini from the opera I Puritani. We heard Anna Netrebko performing the aria Qui la voce sua suave with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra conducted by Patrick Summers. You made a comment that I read somewhere that you feel better after singing Bellini. What did you mean? Is it better? Does it help you? Does it put your voice in the right place?
What? Yeah, that's right.
It does.
Yeah, it's somehow Bellini puts everything in the right places.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it the range? Is it the phrasing?
I think everything together. I think the phrases, the way it was written. Yeah. I don't agree with opinion around with Bellini, especially Sonnambula has to be sung by coloratura. It's wrong. It has to have the full voice like it was in the past time.
Held in, perhaps, less.
Yeah, like Callas did, like Scotto did. Now it's the time is different. I mean, it's mostly sung by very, very light sopranos who adding a lot of, you know, which is maybe beautiful, I don't know, but yeah, sometimes it's missing the beauty of bel canto, which a very light voice cannot deliver.
Now, for the
I'm missing this when I'm listening sometimes very light voices.
Music of Vincenzo Bellini from La Sonnambula. We heard A No Credea Mirarti with Anna Netrebko, soprano, Saimir Pirgu tenor, and the Mahler Chamber Orchestra conducted by Claudio Abbado. For the audience, bel canto, could you explain what is that, the sound that
beautiful
that,
singing.
Oh, I know it means that, but it's definitely a style. There's no question about it.
It's definitely a style which is almost lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost not exist. And I don't know. It would be good to have it back.
I mean, when you speak to someone and you say you compare the sound of a bel canto, line sung in a bel canto, technically correct, what is the difference? Is it more intense? Is it closed? Is it less blaring? You know.
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
At first, my English is not that good to explain
it's excellent.
These kind of things.
It's excellent.
Thank you. I don't know that many words to explain exactly the bel canto technique. I know this more by the intuition, by the listening. What the Callas did with bel canto, that was the bel canto.
Really? Yes, well, they use her as a... I guess this is the thing that you aspire to be like, although...
I think it's not only about the singing, it's also a lot about the putting the phrases in the right rhythm and the right intensity.
Mm.
This is a huge importance about the bel canto.
The acting as well?
No, acting doesn't need to be there.
Okay, so it's just the phrasing. Interesting.
Phrasing, the beautiful singing, the beautiful voice.
Mm.
Very welcome.
Yes. So now you have, what are some of the bel canto roles that you have sung? I mean, it's...
oh, my God.
Are you going to be doing something at the Met?
Well, I don't... I'm going to do... I mean, not... there is still some bel canto in my repertoire, but I'm moving a little bit to the other stuff, which is... I feel so. I will add some Verdi into my repertoire,
mm-hmm.
like earlier Verdi, and which is a bel canto. And I'm looking at this other bel canto, so... Yeah.
So this is we'll know later when you decide, huh? I guess.
Mm.
Music from Lucia di Lammermoor by Gaetano Donizetti. We hear Eccola, Ardon gli Incensi, performed by Anna Netrebko, Ildar Aprozakov as Raimondo, and Michael Myers as Normando. Marco Armiliato conducting the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra with Cecilia Brower on the solo harmonica.
Oh,
Music by Gaetano Donizetti from Lucia di Lammermoor. We heard Eccola Ardon Vincenzi, performed by our guest today, Anna Trebko, along with Ildar Aborazakov as Raimondo and Michael Myers as Normano. Marco Armiliato conducted the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra with solo harmonica player Cecilia Brower. A Puccini favorite, O Mio Babbino Caro. From Gianni Schicchi, we heard Anna Trebko performing with the Mahler Chamber Orchestra conducted by Claudio Abbado. Is there anything, again, that you want to do very, very much in terms of an opera that you would like very much to work on next?
In the opera?
Yes.
In the classical music? Oh, I don't know. What I'm doing, I'm preparing Trovatore. I'm preparing Faust. I don't know why. I think it's way too late for me to sing Faust. But anyway, the one big thing I'm preparing is Manon Lescaut Puccini. That's what I'm gonna sing in a few years.
How do you like Puccini?
I do like Puccini. Well, everybody likes Puccini.
Everyone does.
It's very easy to sing, and it's really written for the voice. It's you just don't have to sing it too much because I think it's dangerous.
In what way? You don't have to work as hard, or
this pleasure of singing this? It might be dangerous, you know. These wide phrases, this full sound you're giving quite often, and these large Puccini phrases.
Right.
They can be dangerous because after that, it's you feel a little bit stretched. And for me, as for the singer, I always has to stop and be back to, to bel canto.
Yeah. That's your beginning, your end, and your middle, I guess, the bel canto. Well, again, I tell you, it's amazing to see your tremendous success. You look, again, beautiful. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people do notice all the time. It's very nice to have someone like you to look at and to produce such a beautiful sound with your voice. And now this is going to be, is this the first production of Manon on HD? Is the Met has not done this before, is that right?
No, I have one from Berlin. That was also live performance.
Really?
On DVD, yeah. How many years ago? I think 6 years ago it was.
Yes, but for us here in the United States, I mean, this is the first one that you are singing for HD, or have you done other roles on HD?
Oh, I don't know. I did many. Yeah, many.
Many. Well, then, okay, so this is not a new experience for you.
No.
Okay. Well, what can I say? I'm so thrilled that we had at least a few minutes to speak. And I look forward to seeing the HD live, and hope that that we can look forward to more performances. And thank you again for giving us your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Bye bye.
Avvenire scosti tu. For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.